Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. My name is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., and tonight we have a very, very special, exclusive fellowship tonight, and it's a late-night fellowship. It's actually 4 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, and I'm in New Haven, Connecticut. And this is definitely going to be a blessing to you, and it's going to be very informative. Let's not waste any time, and let's get right into the lesson. I'd like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verses 6 through 24. And while you're finding that, I'm going to be in the King James Version, whatever you have is sufficient. While you're finding that, I'm going to read the description of the message, which is customary here at this ministry. Saying that we walk with God is one thing, but showing it is another. There has been many, and still are many, that say that they talk to God daily and that they love God and follow him. Let the truth be told. You'd be surprised at how many folk don't even know his voice. There are some pastors right in the pulpits that some of you look up to that God did not send or set up. Bad enough that the unsaved, that aren't saved from hell, rebel against God's word. But we saints that are believers need to check ourselves whether we be of the faith. We can't keep blaming the devil for our flaws and our mistakes, because if we have the type of closeness with God that we claim to have, then the devil can't make us do anything. We fall because our relationship with God isn't as deep as we say. We fall because we aren't as sold out as we profess to be. The devil knows what will make us fall because we once served him. He will have us walking wrong and we'll be thinking that we're right. We're living in a day where compromise seems to be the style. One day we're going to have to give an account for what we've done and said secretly and openly. And it will be too late if we don't enter into God's rest. Ministries should be teaching that the devil has a hard time with someone who will allow the Holy Ghost to lead them, because he knows that the Holy Ghost makes no mistakes, and neither will we when we allow the Holy Ghost to lead us, in Jesus' name. Let's delve into this and see what the Lord is trying to tell us. Let's get into Peekaboo, God Sees You. Get your Bibles, a notebook, and a pen, and let's examine this book of truth, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a word of prayer before we read the scripture so that we can go right into it after that. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you forgive us for our sins. We thank you for this time of gathering and fellowship. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be used by you to bring forth a word to feed your children at this late night, early morning hour. In Jesus' name, we ask that you answer questions and that you raise questions. We ask, oh God, that you challenge your people to hear what you're saying. And Lord, I'm asking that you let the lesson be deep yet simple, and simple yet deep. Feed everyone that you have handpicked to come to the table, no matter what country, state, or region that they are in listening to this. I ask in Jesus' name that you allow them to know that you and you alone are God. We love you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us, and thank you for answering us. Now you do the teaching. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. I'm going to read these verses, Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 6 to verse 24 in the King James Version. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I have heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall I bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The thought that God gave me for this lesson is called Come Clean Before God Exposes You. The title is Peekaboo, God Sees You. In Scripture, God's character is seen as he shows us through many different examples of how he handles things when pertaining to man and other creatures and beings of creation. It is so sad when you know God according to his word and by revelation from the Holy Ghost, who is God, and you see others who claim to know him but bear not the fruit from knowing him. For example, a person with a lying spirit cannot know God. Otherwise, they wouldn't lie. A person who loves to argue and fight can't know God because he gives us the spirit of peace when we walk with him. And he leads us to be peacemakers. When one doesn't know him, then they experience no guilt in lying on him or even using his name to co-sign a lie. Think of the entertainers and musicians of the world that thank God for their awards, for the many different secular achievements that they've accomplished, and secular songs that they accredit to God for inspiration. There are even men who give God honor for blessing them, quote unquote, to be able to achieve fame by dressing as women and even making fun of Scripture. This didn't just start happening. And it's not just the unsaved that disappoint God, but it's the saved also that disappoint him also, his very own children. But God is saying that we need to, quote, let God renew in us the right spirit, end quote. Many of us just need to have our relationships with God renewed. Otherwise, we're going to lose what God is trying to give us. And in some cases, already have lost what God tried to give us. The culprit behind the desire to do wrong is Satan. He tempts those that are saved because we try to live for God. the unsaved aren't tempted. They already have no hope. But we Christians have hope. There are certain types of people that will not get into heaven, and we find them in Revelation 21 and 8. They are the fearful, which are backsliders, unbelievers, which are the ones that are unfaithful to God, the abominable, which are the corrupt, spiritually corrupt, murderers, whoremongers, which are immoral people, sorcerers, which are those conversing with demons, idolaters, which are those that are idol worshippers, and all liars. Scripture says that they will go into the lake of fire, and that is the second death or second separation from a human soul and God. The theological definition of death is separation. None of us true Christians should want to be separated from God. Walking as one of those eight classes of people mentioned a few lines back has too much at stake. God knows that once we leave this world, there is another world that we enter into, fully aware when it comes to hell, if we leave this world unsaved from hell. The saved enter into God's rest, according to Hebrews 4. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. He informed us of both places, but he spent a lot of time warning folk to not go to hell. People weren't listening then, and they are not listening now. Folk are still backsliding, still whoremongering, still conversing with demons, still unfaithful to God, still worshiping idols, still killing folk, still living abominable lifestyles, and still lying, even more now than back in the Bible days. The Bible is here to not only make our joy full, as it says in 1 John 1 and 4, but also that we may be warned of what comes when we leave this world. Unfortunately, many are not going to receive this now on this side of life, but will only see it when they have left this world. There will be no one that will be able to stop them then from what they have to go through. If you or I leave this world unsaved from hell, there will be no one that can or will be able to stop us from going through what we will have to go through. See, God is a revealer of hearts and thoughts. He is also a revealer of plans, actions, intents, and schemes as well. He gives us all, even the unsaved, a chance to come clean. Let's look at some scripture that shows that he gives man, period, a chance to come clean. Genesis 3 and 9, God asked Adam, "Where art thou?" Genesis 4 and 9, God asked Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" Exodus 4 and 2, God asked Moses, What is that in thine hand? Excuse me. Job 1 and 8, God asked Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Job 38 verse 4, God asked Job, "Where is you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Don't get it twisted. Don't think that when God asks questions, it's because he doesn't know, because we serve an omniscient God. Omni meaning all, and scient meaning science, where we get the word science from. So he's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Scient means to know. He's all-knowing. And we also see God even asked Satan a question. When he asked him if he noticed or considered God's servant Job. Let's notice some examples where God has revealed a man's spiritual position by his or her actions. Scripture shows Genesis 4 and 8, Cain's plot against Abel, his brother, and it was because of envy. Genesis, the 27th chapter, shows Jacob and his mother Rachel's plot against Esau and his father Isaac, and that was to secure the blessing. Eve giving the enemy the wrong answer is what caused us to have to leave this world now. Adam just standing there didn't help either. After they both ate the fruit that God said not to eat, they went into hiding, hiding from God. God's voice was heard walking through the cool of the garden, and they hid from him instead of greeting him as they've done before the disobedience. In Genesis 3 and 8, where the English word cool is used, it actually is from the Hebrew word ruach, which means here breeze. This is referring to the gentle, refreshing evening breeze so well known in the Near East. God called Adam and asked him, "Where art thou?" God asked Adam this because he wanted Adam to notice his own spiritual condition. And God is asking us questions even today because he wants us to see and know where we are. Are we walking with him? Are we supping with him? Is he supping with us? Are we pulling up a chair and allowing God to sit and talk with us? In Genesis 4:9, where God asks Abel, "Where is thy brother?" He asked him this because God knew what Cain was doing and plotting on. So he asked him, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" God has a way of letting you know that he's trying to talk to you. He has a way of letting us all know that there's something that he wants to talk to us about. Well, Adam, he wanted to talk to him about, "Where are you? Where are you spiritually? Notice how you're running from me." With Cain, he wanted him to understand, "I know what happened between you and your brother. Now I'm giving you a chance to come clean." Thank you, Jesus. God said he was giving Adam also a chance to come clean. When he asked Adam, "Where art thou?" Adam should have just said, "I messed up." But he didn't. Now let's notice some answers. God asked Adam, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" God associated Adam's knowledge of nakedness with his disobedience. This word naked is from the Hebrew word Arom, which means nudity, and is also from and Arom is also from the Hebrew word Oryal, which also means bare. Adam realized that he was naked. He was bare. He was inadequate, helpless. When he ate that fruit, his image changed. Now he was also afraid, afraid of God's presence. The Hebrew word here meaning afraid is yareh. Yareh means to fear. Morally, it means to revere, and causatively, it means to frighten. It also means to stand in awe. So you can be yareh in a good way or a bad way. It doesn't matter. Yareh also can indicate being afraid of someone or something. So Adam was yareh or afraid or frightened when he heard God's voice walking through the breeze of the garden. If he was standing in awe or reverencing God, as yareh also means, he would not have ran. He ran because he was frightened. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil produced no blessing. His wife ran with him. You have to be careful where you eat at, who you listen to, what you, where you fellowship at. You just have to be very careful because wrong doctrine produces no blessing. And if there's people connected with you, if you go to the left, then you're going to bring them with you, and God will hold you accountable. So when God asked that question, that he, God, already knew the answer, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Now her issue was a self thing. She tried to go solo. Scripture says in Genesis 3:6 that when a woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Now, there was nothing wrong with her seeing that the tree was pleasant to the sight or good for food, because Genesis 2:9 says that out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. But the devil made her look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and saw nothing but good about that tree. But there was really nothing good about that tree. The enemy will paint a picture and make you think that all is well after God has said that it's not. He will make you think that what God said no to, that it's all right, that God is fine with it. He will make you even think that God will compromise. Once she saw that, along with it looking good to the eyes and being good for food, she then saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Then she took of the fruit thereof and she did eat. She wasn't concerned about making her husband wise. It was that she was noticing that the tree was good to make one person wise, and that was her. So she blamed the serpent. She said the serpent beguiled her. The word that beguiled is from the Hebrew word nashal, which means to lead astray. Mentally, it means to delude, and delude means to mislead the mind or judgment of. Now, morally, nashal means to seduce. The serpent couldn't blame anyone because God knew that at the root of this rebellion was the enemy. He knew that the devil was a tempter and that the devil was a seducer. So God dealt with the devil. But first, God dealt with the serpent. Then he dealt with the devil. It's important to notice that the devil used the serpent's body to disguise himself so that he can sneak up in the garden and hold this colloquy. He used the body of a serpent. So that goes to tell us that if you are a vessel allowing the devil to use you for his work or his plot or his plan or his mission, not only is God going to rebuke the devil, but God is going to have to deal with the vessel in which the devil used also. Now, the poor serpent was dragged into this scheme, and he got dealt with because he was guilty by association. Regardless of how disobedient that Adam and Eve was, God knew that Satan was the mastermind behind the disobedience. Adam knew what God told him, and he should have obeyed that. Eve knew what God used Adam to tell her that God said, and she should have did that. After they sinned and tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, then God showed up and they ran. Whatever God told you to do, brethren, do it. Don't get caught up in rebellion to God. Scripture says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Don't let the enemy rob from you. See, you see the end result was they were put out of the garden. They lost the garden. Not only, see, the devil at first was led by God. He was given the earth by God to run, and he rebelled against God and led a coup d'etat to try to lead a revolt against God. That didn't work. And then God began to recreate in Genesis chapter 1. He recreated everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Scripture says, and then verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void. This tells us that something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. God started recreating things, and this time he gave the earth to someone made in his image. And as the devil was standing off to the side watching this, he was upset with envy. He was upset with jealousy. He was upset with anger, and he said, I got to steal it back. I got to steal it. He's a thief. So anything that the devil takes, he has to steal it. And when he stole it, it messed our destiny up, so he thought. But God made a remedy. He told the devil, when he dealt with him, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. Now, we know that a woman don't have a seed. Well, most of you know, you should know, a woman has no seed. And God said to him in Genesis 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. He was talking about Israel. And he was talking about Jesus Christ. He was prophesying coming of a Messiah. This is one of the reasons why the devil launched a couple of hits out against all males 2 years and under during the course of Scripture at different occasions, using Herod, using Pharaoh, because he remembered the prophecy. But he wasn't able to discern the time. because he's not spiritually smart. He's not able to discern adequately because he's not an elect angel anymore. He's a fallen angel. He don't even know your future, but what he does know is that you belong to God. And what he wants to do is throw you off so that way you lose what God is trying to give you. So that way you lose the blessing that God has given you. Again, he's a hinderer. He's a liar. Whenever he talks, it's normal for him to tell a lie. Jesus said that plainly in the book of John. I hope you can turn there with me quickly. Our time is getting short. In John chapter 8, if you notice verse 44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." A lot of uneducated people have a tendency of walking around. I've heard several of them over the years say the devil is a lie. No, he's not a lie. He tells lies. He's the father of lies. But Jesus said in John 8:44 that the devil is a liar. Now, it's important. If you're going to call him a name, call him a correct name. Call him according to the word. There's an anointing on the word. There's power on the word. He knows that if you can't even say his name right, that you don't even know about his organizational structure. It's important to know about your enemy so that way you can effectively fight against him. I ask that you allow the Lord to bless you through this lesson. Again, it's called Peekaboo. God sees you. He sees me. He sees all of us. So none of us can hide from him. But let's allow God to strengthen us, to create in us a clean heart, to renew within us the right spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for everything. Thank you for ministering to us. Thank you for keeping us. We ask, Lord, that you show us how to get delivered from that which hinders us. We ask that you remake us, recreate us, regenerate us, refashion us, create in us a clean heart, and renew within us the right spirit. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you help us to show you that. Please don't expose us. Whatever we've done wrong, we ask you now to forgive us for every last one of our sins. You said in 1 John 1:9, that we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we're coming to you saying that we agree with you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not even us. Come before you saying, Lord, please forgive us. Help us to straighten up and minister to us. Dispense angels into the earth realm to come into our lives to minister to us. In Jesus' name we thank you and we pray, amen. You can call the ministry anytime for prayer, 203-745-8122. The ministry is open 24 hours. Right now the enemy is threatening the ministry's phone bill. So I ask that if you're listening to this message right now, that you call for prayer. Call while the line is clear, while the line is available. Please call for prayer, and the Lord will use me to pray with and for you. I'm in New Haven, Connecticut. It's 4:29 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is June 22nd, 2015. So this is a live broadcast. Unless you're hearing it afterwards on demand. But other than that, it's a live broadcast. 203-745-8162. Call now. You can also reach the ministry at www.ourchurch.com/member. That's MEMBER /t/ the word of God /. you can call, you can actually go on the website, type in the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Ministry, or just type my name in, Apostle Allen, A-L-E-N, Allen E. Coleman, Jr., Apostle Allen E. Coleman, Jr., and let the Lord usually be a blessing to the ministry. Sow into the ministry, partner with us, pray with us, leave your prayer requests, it doesn't matter, so that way God can use the ministry to be there for you. We love you, and God bless you. And remember, God is watching all of us. Let's try to turn over a new leaf. God bless you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, bye-bye.